Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, January 23rd. President Trump's nominee to lead the Environmental Protection Agency spoke to Congress last week. Groups in Colorado are not convinced he's the best candidate. Eric Galatis has more.
Moms in Colorado and across the nation are asking members of Congress to think twice before confirming Andrew Wheeler to lead the Environmental Protection Agency. Wheeler, a former coal industry lobbyist, made the case to U.S. senators on Wednesday that the EPA's actions under the Trump administration show that regulations aren't necessary to drive environmental progress. Julie Piller of Lafayette attended the hearing with the group Moms Clean Air Force. She says the EPA should be taking action to improve air quality standards, not rolling them back.
We need somebody that will boldly and honestly highlight what the real concerns of our air quality are and what the health dangers are and move to boldly address them.
The Trump administration's EPA has worked to roll back numerous protections, including fuel efficiency and emission standards for cars and limits to mercury pollution from coal-fired power plants. Wheeler defended the EPA's work, arguing that fewer standards will keep vehicles affordable. He said protecting health and the environment would be his most important responsibility. I'm Eric Galatis.
Colorado's new Secretary of State is outlining her priorities. As KVNF's Scott Franz reports, Jenna Griswold is hoping to make it easier to register to vote and to track campaign spending.
Griswold is floating the idea of opening polling centers on Sundays before Election Day and adding more registration stations at government offices. She says these actions will benefit elderly voters and those with disabilities. Griswold is also hoping the legislature will pass laws that shine a light on secret political spending.
In Colorado right now, we do a better job of tracking a $50 contribution to a candidate than we do in tracking a $50,000 contribution to an independent expenditure committee.
Griswold says she supports campaign finance reforms that will make it easier to track donations to what are known nationally as super PACs. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
As part of a weekly Capitol Conversation series, State House reporter Scott Franz took a couple of minutes to talk with Carol Pallone of KOTO Telluride about recent stories he's been following, including the transition of Governor Jared Polis into office and the partial government shutdown.
Scott, thank you for joining me for another installment of Capitol Conversation.
Oh, great to be here, Kara.
You've had a full couple of weeks at our State House between the inauguration of Governor Jared Polis and keeping up with the legislative session. And speaking of Polis, he issued his first executive order on Thursday. It aims to bring more electric vehicles to Colorado. Can you offer a summary of his plan, if you would?
Sure. Well, what he's really doing is directing more state resources to try and entice electric vehicle makers to sell more models here. He says that although consumers in Colorado have some of the strongest preferences for these types of cars, they can't currently buy all of the models. So what he's specifically doing is setting up a working group. I believe it'll have about 17 people whose job it will be to really focus on promoting these zero-emission vehicles.
And how was this order received by state lawmakers?
Well, yeah, the reaction was mixed. We had a Republican lawmaker actually attend the electric vehicle announcement with Governor Polis and speak. But then later in the day, Senators John Cook of Greeley and Ray Scott of Grand Junction, they both came out with a statement that in some ways was very critical of this executive order. They questioned whether residents of the more rural parts of the state would ever trade in their trucks for these types of vehicles. They also thought it was more of a mandate that would lead to more expensive vehicles for consumers.
Moving on, it's day 28 of what is now the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, and TSA workers are calling in sick across the country. How is Denver International Airport operating with this added stress to the world of air travel?
Well, last week it was operating very smoothly. The security lines were really moving as quickly as they always have been for this time of year. So they haven't really felt the impacts like other airports we've seen, including including Atlanta and Miami and Houston, where they've actually had to close some of their security lines because of a lack of workers. But everything in DIA so far has been smooth, but air traffic controllers there are concerned that the longer this stretches on, you know, how sustainable is this model where we have workers just coming in without pay? They're worried about the financial strain that these federal employees will start to face here.
Thank you for your coverage, Scott, and thanks for taking the time to speak with me for this installment of Capital Conversation.
Hey, you're welcome, Kara. Thanks for having me.
That was government watchdog Scott Franz, whose reporting is part of Capital Coverage, a collaborative public policy reporting project that's been providing news and analysis to communities across Colorado for more than a decade. 15 public radio stations throughout Colorado, including KVNF, participate in Capital Coverage. On the eve of the 9th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, Coloradans are making strides to limit the influence of money in politics. Eric Gladys has the story.
As the nation marks the 9th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, Coloradans are making strides to limit the influence of money in politics. Last week, the city of Lakewood lowered campaign contribution limits, banned contributions from corporations, and increased transparency for municipal elections. In November, Denver voters passed similar reforms. Amanda Gonzalez with Colorado Common Cause says these steps are necessary to ensure that big money doesn't drown out the voices of everyday Coloradans.
Government should reflect the interest of the average Coloradans, not special interests. And that, of course, is the concern around the influence of money in politics and the effect that Citizens United had.
The 2010 Supreme Court decision, citing previous court precedent, ruled that political spending is a form of protected speech under the First Amendment and said the government can't get in the way of corporations spending money to influence elections. Overturning the decision could require a constitutional amendment. Gonzalez notes the High Court has not ruled out putting a spotlight on so-called dark money to expose special interests paying for political ads.
The Supreme Court has resoundingly said that disclosure and transparency are absolutely something that the people can ask for. Those are opportunities in a post-Citizens United world to make sure that we still have a good understanding of what's happening in our elections.
A bill introduced this month in the U.S. House of Representatives would require disclosure of dark money contributions and provide qualifying candidates with a 6-to-1 match on small donations. Last year, according to the group Clean Slate Now, at least 10 cities, counties, and states passed significant campaign finance reforms. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, January 23rd. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.